You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
Welcome to another edition of Michigan Politics, huh? That's the name of the podcast. I have a question mark in there, so I have to make my voice sound weird every time. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League, and today I'm very honored to be joined by former state representative Rob Verhulen. I said that right?
You did.
Okay, he's also a former mayor of Walker.
That's true.
Right. I always get my W communities mixed up. I want to say, you know, like Westland or something like that. That's an entire different side of the state. So the Michigan Municipal League is honoring former Representative Verhulen with our special award of merit for his longtime commitment to the league as a Michigan legislator, and also as a former mayor, too. So first, I want to congratulate you on receiving that award.
Well, thank you very much. Of any organization that I'd be proud to have an award from, MML is the one.
Well, thank you. Have you ever turned down an award, though, as a former politician?
I haven't, but quite frankly, I was a little surprised when they called and said, we're giving you an award. I said, well, you realize I'm not in the legislature anymore.
Right.
I can help you a little, but it's not like I'm a sitting legislator. And yeah. They said, yes, we know that, but you carried a fair amount of water over the past 6 years.
Yeah, you did. And you know, you were a great champion for our cities. I'm guessing, but you can kind of explain it. Is it kind of come because you were a former mayor? Did you have a different perspective than maybe some of your counterparts?
Well, I think so. That's part of it. And then I think part of it is my general philosophy of government. Where does government function best? And I think the level of government that's closest to the people is the most effective. So
right.
my default position, or at least I tried to make it my default position, yeah. Is this something that can be better handled at the local level? And so many things that in Lansing and in Washington, we try to make decisions that, quite frankly, we're not the most qualified to make. And I think that they're better made at the local level.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, each city, each municipality is different. It has different
right.
priorities, different characteristics, and I think that's a wonderful thing to see the blend of different municipalities. One might prioritize walking trails, another might be libraries or what have you, and I think that's healthy, and it's
right.
better that Lansing doesn't stamp them all the same. And so I think it was the combination of my experience at the local level, but also my philosophy of where is government work best.
Right. And you kind of hit on a really good point there, is the issue of local control. And probably a lot of our listeners don't know what that means. And basically, you know, Michigan's a home rule state where local governments kind of get the first right of deciding what's best for them, where other states basically tell cities, this is the only things you are allowed to do. Well, Michigan's not like that. Michigan's a state where the cities get to make the decisions they think is best for their residents. But what's happened in Michigan, as you know, is there's been a seemingly growing erosion of local control, where there's more and more state bills or state laws that seems to go after kind of like, well, now you guys, you can't do this anymore, you know, like one little thing will happen. Tell me a little bit about what you saw in that area.
Well, it's certainly true. Over the 6 years that I spent in Lansing, it seemed like we were continually getting local preemption bills, which basically says we're going to decide rather than the locals. And there are some areas where that might make sense.
Sure.
But I think there's a tendency, again, if you're at the non-local level of government, you tend to, oh, yes, this makes sense. And it's all well-meaning, but the legislators, it could be their own personal experience or what have you, but the tendency is to say, well, we're going to make a rule that applies across the board. And
yeah.
I think it behooves every legislator to try to resist that, and sometimes we resist and sometimes we don't, but it seems like it's more and more common.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Is it the nature of our political system in general? Is it maybe a symptom of that, or what do you think?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's true at so many levels. I mean, even at the, when you look at, I make the same argument to my members of Congress and senators,
sure.
and I say, I really think instead of putting strings on money that flow from Washington to Lansing, you should do block grants and let Michigan decide how it wants to operate, whatever it is, including something like Medicaid.
Okay.
Because what works for Michigan may or may not fit for Utah.
Right.
And of course, the funding comes from the states.
Yeah.
So rather than put all of the strings on it when it comes back, transportation is a good example. We're told where we can spend it and how we can spend it. And I think that Michigan could say, you give us the money,
yeah.
or better yet, let's not send it to Washington in the first place.
Right.
But that's not likely to happen. And I think the same thing's true at the local level. Let's try to discipline ourselves. But I think there is that mindset, and it's more common. I mean, if you go back in history, I think the Nixon administration, which was famous for its infamy.
Yeah.
But some of the programs that they tried to implement included revenue sharing, where they would send block grants back to the states and let the states determine what their respective priorities are and how to spend the money. And I think that's something that we should see more of.
Right. Now, did we, you talk about that kind of revenue sharing thing. We talk about revenue sharing here. Was that kind of like a model of what we have here in Michigan in a different way?
It was like block grants.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's analogous in the sense that it's money that flows, but it was it went beyond. I mean, when I think of our revenue sharing, I mean, I was a mayor in the times when statutory revenue sharing was the means, cutting statutory revenue sharing was the means the state budget was
right.
balanced.
Yeah.
and so I'm very sensitive about revenue sharing.
Yeah.
But those monies are not, there aren't a lot of strings. When a local unit gets revenue sharing payments, and of course for the cities, they also get an Act 51 distribution.
Right, for roads.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So... but we just don't, in my view, we don't send enough money back to the local to
right.
effectively perform the functions of government.
Right. And the Michigan Municipal League, particularly our Save My City initiative, talks a lot about this system for funding municipal governments and how, the state has since 2002 diverted almost $8.6 billion in revenue sharing from local communities. And you mentioned you were in the legislature when those kind of tough decisions had to make. And we do talk about, we're pretty blunt about it, saying, the state balanced its budget on the backs of local communities. What was that like in that time? I know you guys had some tough decisions to make, and being a mayor from Walker, I got to assume you had some really mixed emotions over some of those decisions.
Oh, it was unbelievable. We had, I can remember we had at least one press conference with the mayor of Grand Rapids and then the five surrounding cities.
Yeah.
And we all came to our positions from a different background. I'm a Republican. Certainly my counterpart in Grand Rapids, if he was a Republican, it was a different form of Republican than I was. But we stood united, and we had data, and we said, how are we supposed to operate the vital functions of our cities? In Walker, we ended up closing City Hall on Fridays. We consciously, not happily, but we consciously didn't put into our roads what we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
It was
sure deferred capital improvements.
Oh,
and all
absolutely.
That stuff.
My years as mayor, those were the roughest years the city's experienced.
Oh, wow.
And Walker was an income tax city.
Okay,
so
they were able to
level
local income tax. I think it's one to 16 or 20, maybe
right,
20 something
right.
like that.
But a very low property, a very low millage rate. So
okay.
when the economy tanked, we really tanked.
Okay.
Our revenue stream just plummeted.
Wow.
And we got through it. It was not fun, but I was very resentful and I felt, it's similar to we did a bill and it was well intended. But what it did is it gave property tax exemption for the, if I recall, it was the disabled veteran and his or her spouse.
Oh, okay.
For life.
Oh, wow.
And you know, as a legislator, you can't not vote to support the veterans.
Right.
But in caucus, I said, well, you know, we pat ourselves on the back and we say we're doing something nice for veterans. But if we really want to be honest, we should reimburse the locals who lose the money. We're spending local dollars with this piece of legislation. And, and of course, everyone agreed privately. but when the vote went up, we all had to vote yes, because you can't vote against veterans. But that's, you know, that's an easy path.
Yeah.
And it does. You know, I was coming up with examples. I said, well, what if you had a veteran who married someone decades younger than he or she, and the veteran passes away, we could be giving a property tax exemption to the surviving spouse for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
And it wasn't means tested. So this could be a multimillionaire individual not contributing to the local coffers. And I said, you know, it's... why do we have to vote on things like this? But anyone can introduce a bill. And again, the dynamics are, how do you vote against the veterans?
But
clearly we were not spending our money. We were spending the locals' money.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because I'm sure... How does that work? I always often wonder. You guys go into caucus, which is like the kind of the behind the door where all the Republicans get together, and then all the Democrats are doing their caucus, and you kind of, you know, come up with certain, I guess, platforms or ideology. How does that work when you don't necessarily agree with the party, and how did you kind of navigate that kind of thing where, you know, on issues of revenue sharing or maybe things that where the party is, you know, kind of saying, well, we need to go in this direction.
Well, I can only speak again for the last three sessions and the Republicans.
Sure.
But we had a pretty open caucus. I mean, I felt comfortable making comments respectfully.
Yeah.
And then at least in the three terms that I was there, we always got together off-site, and we came up with a plan of action or a list of things to do or a list of priorities. And that was it was very open. No one was punished for taking a contrary view. And I was fortunate. I was on appropriations all 6 years.
That's a really important kind of committee. It determines the budget and money and things like that.
And I had, in my last term, my last 2 years, I chaired the general government subcommittee, which includes revenue sharing.
Yeah.
So I made that a priority, and my counterpart was now Senate Appropriations Chair Stamos, who was very supportive.
Okay.
But there's still differences, because revenue sharing could mean to the cities and villages, it could mean to the counties. But I think we certainly did as well as we could, and I put it down as one of my legislative priorities every year I was there, was to increase revenue sharing. Did we get where I'd like to get it? No.
Yeah.
But it certainly was a priority. And I'm delighted that my successor also, my successor as mayor, is also my successor in the legislature.
He's kind of following right along, isn't he?
And he chairs the general government budget.
Oh, really? That's Mark Heisinger, right?
Mark Heisinger, yes.
He's a state representative from Walker, former Walker mayor, former league member, obviously. So,
yes.
Do you think there is sometimes, I don't know if memory loss is the right word, but when local officials go on to be in the state, have you seen that at all, or what do you think about that little theory?
You know, when I was in Walker, when I was a local official, we used to, again, in good natured, but we would kid that when folks were elected to go to Lansing, they forgot their way back home.
Right.
And I think there's, you know, there's some truth to it, but I think it's, I think at least in my case, I didn't quite understand the complexities of the budget and some of the economic challenges that we face. And the years that I served here, Michigan has been on a steady growth.
Yeah.
But we have some big fundamental, obviously with the governor's proposal on roads is a huge issue.
Yeah.
And I worry about our other infrastructure, including sewers and water systems and so forth. And in my neck of the woods, we have the PFAS issue, but I suspect that's going to be all over Michigan. Yeah. And so we have some big heavy lifts going forward, and so it's not it's not as easy to get accomplish what you'd like to.
Right.
But I think and for me personally, partnering with MML was just a delight. I had a very good relationship, and they were and we didn't agree on everything.
Right.
But they always had an open door in my office, and they weren't hesitant to come through. And quite frankly, I welcomed it because, you know, you have a tendency. Well, I've been elected, and now I'm something of a big shot. And but you really don't know the nuts and bolts. And even for me, coming out of local government, I might know how it would impact the city of Walker.
Sure.
But I certainly don't have a good feel for how it would impact, how many cities and villages are there in this state?
Yeah, oh, almost 520.
Yes. and so having an organization like MML, they sort of do the vetting and come up with a consensus position, and it's very helpful. And within the caucus, it's very persuasive.
Yeah. Does the MML have a kind of leverage among the legislators? Do they, when we kind of come in the room, is there some attention paid to us knowing that we have, 520 plus cities kind of behind us?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I mean, I know so. Yeah. It gives credibility to a position. And again, as a legislator, you're dealing with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different issues, most of the issues you don't really know well.
Yeah.
And so I would, if it had anything to do with local government, my first question would be, where's MML on this?
Sure.
Interesting. And part of it was my history, but I think the organization has earned the respect of the legislature, and again, we're not going to agree on everything.
Right.
and MML is a voice for one segment of our state, a very important one, but sometimes you'll get MML taking a position and another well-respected organization
taking
180 degrees,
right.
and those are hard calls.
Yeah,
and those are hard calls.
I bet. So, we definitely have a higher level of respect for you, and I'm just a lowly communications director, but I know when they were deciding the leadership positions, I was privately gunning for you to be, their next Speaker of the House. I think you were really close. It didn't quite happen for you, but I was like, oh, that would have been great to have a former mayor, a good supporter in there. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and how do you feel about it now?
Looking back, I feel very good. I'm competitive by nature, and I won, and I felt, it wasn't something that I came to Lansing, I want to be the Speaker of the House.
Sure.
But my first term, Jace Bolger was the speaker.
Yeah.
My second term, Kevin Cotter was the speaker. And I was elected whip, majority whip.
Mm-hmm.
So I was part of that.
Kind of in line.
Leadership
maybe.
Team. Well, yes. Now, but yes. But our speaker pro tem was Representative Tom Leonard, who was and continues to be a very good friend of mine.
Okay.
But I had folks approach me and said, you ought to run. We think you have the maturity and the experience and what have you. And I thought, well, I didn't come to Lansing with this as my number one priority.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I hadn't even considered it.
Okay.
But I thought about it. I talked to my wife and talked to some of the colleagues.
Yeah.
And they said yes. And so I threw my hat in the ring, and we worked very hard.
Yeah. How close was it?
Well, it's hard to say.
okay.
We were measuring returning members.
Ah.
I think Speaker Leonard and I had different lists. I think if it had been the returning members, I would have done real well.
Aye.
A lot of the incoming members, somehow I was characterized as a less conservative, more moderate between the two of us.
Oh, they get that M word label on you.
And, you know, I have always considered myself a fiscal conservative, a social conservative with a little libertarian twing in it. So after the primaries, it was clear that the incoming members who I didn't have as much chance to work with and so forth. And it became clear to me that if we continued this effort, it could be detrimental to the...
Or divisive to the party.
Yes. Sure. And so I called Tom, Speaker Leonard, and said, I think you're going to win, and I think we need to unite and elect colleagues, Republican colleagues, so that we control the House.
Yeah.
And he was very gracious, and we had and continue to have a very good relationship.
Right.
So.
Well, I think that speaks a lot to your nature, too. I think, you know, that's probably why one of the reasons you're getting the word from us is that, you know, you really do have that demeanor where, you know, you're willing to, you know, kind of work with both sides and seem very cooperative and always been cordial and polite to us. So we really appreciate that. So again, what is you mentioned a little on the onset about the award, and you were surprised by us giving you a call. You reminded us that you're not in the legislature anymore, which I'm sure we knew.
Yes, so, I'm sure you did. So, I was just having a little fun.
Because, yeah, absolutely.
You know, quite frankly, some of the awards that you get as a legislator are because you're in a position.
Right.
And
back scratching, maybe.
Is it chicken or the egg? Do you give the award because he or she's in a position to help, or you know, it's one of those things. And we're all rookies at this. I've only been a term limited legislator for a few months.
Right.
So I don't know, but I just always assumed that those awards were heartfelt in the sense that yes, you've done banner service, banner effort, but practically speaking, a former legislator. To me, it's more meaningful now than it would have been when I was chairman of the General Government Subcommittee, where I'd say, "Well, I'm tickled that they're giving me an award."
Yeah,
but they know that I'm influential on how much revenue sharing today.
Sure, right.
Today,
what do you want from me for getting
this?
Yeah,
there's nothing I can do other than continue. Well, I'm still involved.
Sure.
In
Lansing. It does show we truly appreciate.
Yes,
appreciate
it, you. It, that's exactly right. So I was very tickled.
Right. Great. So what are you doing now? It's been 3 months, or let's say March. Yeah, 3 months.
Yeah. Well, I'm still involved. Senator McGregor, who is my senator, and the floor leader in the Senate, approached me at the end of last year and said, "What are you thinking of doing next chapter of your life?" And I'm 60. I'll be 66 in June.
Okay.
And I said, I'm clearly not ready to retire. I'm having too much fun. And he said, well, you know, you might, he was running for floor leader. I think at that point he might have known he was going to be. And he said, he said, I'm going to be the floor leader. I'm going to be chairing the DHHS budget, which is the big one.
Oh, okay.
Very time consuming. He said, would you consider
That's
being
Department of Health and Human Services?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's roughly half of the state budget.
Wow. Okay.
He said, would you consider being my district, my face in the district?
Oh, okay.
And I said, yes, I would. So I'm working for Senator McGregor. I'm in the district, which includes his Senate district, includes all of my former House district.
Oh, okay.
And then some. But I know many of the local officials. So last night I was at an awards and commissions award ceremony in the city of Rockford.
Oh, okay.
For example, I represented the
Did you
city.
Get an award there too?
No. I was just there for Pete, for Senator McGregor.
Okay.
And then on Wednesdays I come to Lansing.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm trying to help him. I actually had the Department of Health and Human Services budget my second term.
Oh, okay.
I chaired it. So I'm doing that. And then the Kent County actually appointed me to the Road Commission in Kent County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And,
that's a big deal. That's a big county.
It is. And I had chaired Transportation Subcommittee my first term.
Oh, okay.
So I know a little bit about road funding. And I think it's, you know, certainly one of the issues, big issues for us going forward.
Yeah.
So I'm doing those things.
Great.
And having a nice time of it.
Do you have any long-term goals or objectives? Higher offices or anything like that?
You know, I don't. I tell people that I don't. I don't have to make a decision on anything. I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now.
Good.
And 4 years for the next logical elected position would be Senate or in Walker. I couldn't, and we have a wonderful mayor.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's here.
I think so. Okay.
but Walker has term limits, so I'm now term limited from serving.
You can't become mayor again.
I can't be mayor again. I can't become a state rep again.
Oh wow. Okay.
So we'll we'll just take it day by day.
Oh great. Well great. Well, former Representative Rob Verhula, I really appreciate your time today, and again, congratulations on our award from the Michigan Municipal League.
Well, thank you. I'm very appreciative.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.